all being here with me this morning. We've been trying to solve a electrical dilemma at Don and Melissa's. And something I've actually covered before. It's really important in this day. It seemed like in years ago that you could, it seemed like as a Christian that I don't think the lines of, you know, good and bad ever change. I don't think the lines of what's evil and what's righteous ever change. But one of the things that I remember early on in my walk, and I think we forget a little bit about it, was closing open doors. There was open doors that just had to be shut. There were doors that sometimes that we know we got to change. And many times as a Christian, as Satan is going to come at you in spiritual warfare, and you know, closing open doors is going to be such a critical thing, because doors that are open to the wrong thing can not only lead to one bad action, but can ruin an entire life. And it's important because this is like a proactive thing, meaning rarely am I going to have the Lord leading me to close open doors in my life that isn't going to require physical action of some kind. It's just simply not true. Sure, there are attitudes, there can be doors, there are ways that the enemy wedges into our life, but so many things we're living, and even when we're in error, we're living, we're doing, we're making that call, we're punching that up, we're hitting that keystroke. So many times, this is the deal. And I want to just go to Genesis, because again, this is going to come at you again and again and again. You are going to go through things, and there is going to be a very specific door. And you can walk through it, you can walk through another one. But I'm focusing on not the doors you walk through, but the doors that need to be closed. And I find it amazing in Genesis 4, and this is just the age-old story. It's the first recording that the word of that the word door is brought up. And I think what's really interesting about this is that obviously in Genesis 4 we're talking Cain and Abel, and it's interesting because I can guarantee you there was no such thing as a wood door. And yet, the Lord in the Hebrew uses the word door. And I'm not sure what occurred with Cain and Abel. In fact, it's interesting that Cain and Abel, one offered a good offering, one offered a bad offering. That's what we know about. That also, that Abel offered in faith, Cain must have not. And it's interesting because, you know, in verse 6, chapter 4, the Lord calls to Cain and says, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen?" And here's the thing, and I want to go through a dichotomy of what begins to happen in all of us. It's not reserved for you or just me. It's reserved for all people of God for all times. You know, it's interesting. Before we really open the door, our countenance falls. And let me explain something. A countenance in the Scripture is an interesting thing. Because the countenance in the Scripture, like nowadays, you'll watch an actor or actress, and they're really good at changing their countenance for roles. In fact, sometimes I try to figure out how some of these guys pull off some of what they do. Because they have to change. They have to change their whole countenance. You know, if you talk to an average person and say, "Look mean," they'll squinch their eyes. Or "Look happy," they'll smile. But the countenance in the Scripture was really that which reflected the inner man. But when somebody's countenance had fallen, you could see it. And you don't hear this as much, guys, in 2017. But when I first got saved, and even into the 80s and even to the 90s, the word countenance was used of Christians a lot. And I could tell, and I was a youth pastor. In fact, that's talk about countenance just changing. Youth wore it on their sleeve, because when you're younger, you're less good at lying and you're less good at hiding. And you would see it in the eyes. You would see it. You'd see a kid going through something, and their countenance would shift. And you could even see when they had fallen. It was real obvious. Their countenance wasn't the same. That's actually still true today. We don't use the word countenance as much, but it's no less relative. And actually, before really the door's wide open, the countenance falls. The countenance doesn't fall once the door that's open for the enemy. It usually falls before the door. And the enemy reads this stuff in our lives. Your countenance is your spirit, your the state of spirit you live in. And people don't realize, many of us, myself included, how obvious our countenance shifts. There's not much done in secret. There's not much done that we don't see in each other. There's not much in the countenance that can hide a fallen heart, harbored sin, whatever the case would be. But God questions the countenance of Cain. Obviously, God questions the pre-sin. Because once Cain sins and the door was open, and obviously sin did what it did, and we know that he was the first murderer, we know that Cain's countenance fell. And that's why God comes at the countenance part. We are sometimes kind of waiting, even when we're trying to help others, and we see their countenance shift. And so but a lot of times we're happy as long as they don't do something. But when that countenance has fallen, they're on their way. God comes to I call it the predisposition. God comes to the predisposition of the countenance when it falls. In fact, I give you an excellent example, if you don't mind me bringing it up. OJ trial. Remember OJ? You thought you'd never hear this again. I'll never forget. Now, again, I can't try and hear it. There would be no need to. None of it, it's all done. But I remember my wife said something. Women are sometimes great at intuitive stuff. And she said, when he was, going to the police station, she said, his countenance has fallen. I said, well, yeah, his wife was murdered. She said, no, he did something. It's a different man. And you could see it in his face. I've actually talked to people. I've seen people that committed horrible crimes in the pre and then in the after effect. Now, again, people will say, well, he was acquitted, and that's all fine. But I'm bringing up examples where you look into the face of a person and they're carrying something a lot more in that countenance. God approaches the countenance because that's a state of spirit, that's the mood, that's what's going on. So he comes to Cain because that's when it counts. Sometimes we're just hoping, oh, please don't physically do something. But when the countenance, meaning the spirit has fallen of a person, they're getting ready to pop open a door, and they're getting ready to pop open a door with an active enemy on the other side of the door. This is the other thing we don't think about. When we're living our Christian life and there's doors of opportunity, when I open the door, I just imagine that I step through into something. That's not how it really works, because when I open the door, something steps through into me. Many times we love to treat even pet things. We keep in our closet and we close the door. And many times we approach it, like the secret that we can go in and out of and perform and come back. But the scripture just says no such thing. Something else comes back through when the door is open. You don't just run through the door. Something comes at you and it takes you. And it did with Cain. In fact, it's interesting because God says in verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? So the door's about to be opened, but Cain's already fallen. That's the predisposition before the bad door is allowed to be open. And then he just gives him a solution. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So when we close open doors in our life, or even can the best, obviously, too, you're going to end up, sometimes as a Christian, closing doors that are already open. So there's two states of affair if you're with me on this. Sometimes your countenance is going to fall, and you're going to catch it. And there's going to be a door of opportunity, and you are going to have to physically go somewhere else. You are going to have to maybe make a move. You're going to have to do something that's going to require an actual physical activity to keep it closed. But that's the part of getting it with open doors. You don't ever open a door and walk through it into something to where it doesn't come back at you and grab you. Absolutely. Cain, at this point, there's a door, and he's angry. And the ability to open the door is coming through his jealousy, and it's coming through his anger. And God comes at the right state, obviously, because once the door is open, sin is got a desire for Cain. So it actually causes, in a way, sin and the devil, and has a desire for the people that open the door. Number one, when it comes to closing open doors, we got to quit believing we're simply walking through a door into a bad action. But we have to start understanding that if we allow a door open, sin is it's desire. He says, its desire is for you. So part of being a Christian and learning to close open doors, whether they be small or big, is that the minute I open the door, a boatload of garbage comes through at me. It attaches to me. And its desire is for me. It wants to consume me. It wants to lead me to the full outcome of whatever that was. You know, it's interesting because we see there's a lot of murder in the country. There's murder all over. Always. There's crimes of passion. When I worked in corrections, I've seen guys that were locked away for a life sentence with no parole. One guy, you know, he murdered his wife. He was actually an ad executive, and now he was just a guy sitting in his cell, 6x10. Because he caught his wife cheating. Anger was at the door, and it fully opened, and it fully took him. In fact, when you look at where this starts, it just starts at jealousy. But that's the point about closing open doors, because the door that the enemy uses, and in this case, he's jealous and he's angry. He's angry at his brother, but the funny thing is, his brother did nothing to him. His real anger was at God, but this door is simply jealousy and a little bit of anger. And as much as we love to say, oh, that guy's crazy, he killed somebody, or that guy's crazy, he robbed $50 million from his company, sometimes that door is a simple greed. Sometimes that door is a simple jealousy. Sometimes that door can be a simple lust. But God, in the beginning of time, even us believers today, speaks about sin and its desire is for us. And when a door is open, something's crouching at it. We have to get rid of the illusion that we think we're stepping from one room to the other and going to partake in something kind of that's, you know, bad, but I'm going to step back through the door. Because once it's open, whatever I step into steps into me, and when I even go back, it's with me. Now the door's open. This is why repeat sin is so problematic with old, young, it doesn't matter. This is why people that, when we start opening doors, man, there's a need to shut them. But even when we shut them, we got to truly leave what came in. It has to be shed and left there. There's an arrogance that is in the human psyche. I believe I have it. I believe all people have a natural pride and an arrogance. Because we do think we're in control. We do think we can open various doors to satisfy whatever pleasure. And then we can just shut them again and compartmentalize our lives. But that's really not what begins to happen. We let little doors, whether it is anything. And for Cain, it's jealousy. And it's actually jealousy, but really his gripe is it's God that didn't accept him. And he just says, as it is, he said, its desire is for you. Even in this statement, God is connecting absolutely the forces of evil to even the sin of man. He's not saying, because there's a lot of ways he could have termed this in this language that he does not. But the solution is simple. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Meaning, your anger, Cain, is the result of your actions. And your actions, Cain, could actually turn this around. But understand that sin is crouching. So, and that also means that as we're going to open a door, we try to logically think of the biggest problem that could occur through the door. And we're at this level, sin's crouching at this level. So when we open doors, we're always going to get surprised. And I'm talking doors that should not be open. And we're going to get hit, and we're going to get beat, and we're going to... And the funniest thing is, we're going to end up somewhere that is far away from the beginning of what actually opened the door. The door there was jealousy. The door there was jealousy, and it burst into attitude. In fact, it even says in verse 8, Cain told Abel his brother. So they don't even really know, because Genesis doesn't give us a full rundown, because he told them, meaning he didn't tell them to just kill him, then he rose up. So Cain has got this doorway, the jealousy and his own failure opened wide. He's got attacked now. He's going to kill his brother Abel. It's the first murder in the history of man. Blood had never been shed in the history of man. This is the first one. And it's funny, because the only blood that really was shed is when God clothed Adam and Eve with some animal skins. A death took place to take away their nakedness, which is a foreshadow of Jesus. But closing open doors is really critical, because I've seen not only death, I've seen destruction, I've seen disease, I've seen suicide. In the years as a believer, I've seen little doors go launch into things that were so big. And the ending was never good unless the door was thoroughly shut. And the torment and the agony and the pain. that happens with open doors. One of the things about spiritual warfare, you know, I would love to cast out a demon, and I would love to beat the devil. I would love to do a lot of things, and all these things we will do. But in my life, I'm going to have doors that I'm going to come upon that I can open or close. And sometimes I'm going to have to close doors that I've opened somewhere, somehow. And I'm going to have to get a hold of that, because in my life, the stuff that is open, we are vulnerable to. And if Genesis 4 teaches us anything, is the little door of jealousy has a possibility that's unlimited in its destructive nature that it can do. We pride ourselves that we're kind of not like that. I could never be a Cain. I could get jealous. I've been jealous of people, haven't you? But of course I wouldn't kill somebody. And what we fail to understand big time is that Cain was simply angry, and what this thing turned into, it got real a lot deeper than that. So when it comes to shutting open doors, you need to start understanding if you do well. But again, the enemy also, what it says too, is the enemy has a great sense when you're nearing a door to open this bad. He has such a sense that he ducks down. So what he tries to show you is a portal, an opportunity that you can simply open. He tries to make sure the vision and the view is clear. And there is a blindness that happens. In fact, we're drawn away by our lust, and that can just mean a desire that's not right, and then we're willing to open the door. You know, it's interesting. In my life as a believer, I've absolutely seen people that come to the church, not even this, even my home church, that have come and they've died young, and then actually, they were messed up, they're burning in hell. The game is so severe that I've watched you lose your sense of humor with it, because you actually have been around long enough to see the arrogance that people play. So much so. All of us, we're human, and that's something we condemn. But I think he has a sense, so he crouches down, and when you're about to open a door that could absolutely destroy you, he crouches down. In fact, he doesn't even want you to see when you first open it that there's a devil in the works. He doesn't want you to see that something is coming to get you, and it is going to get you. Now, for those of us who are older, and we don't, you know, I mean, I'm not worried necessarily about going to a kegel party. Sin. I can open doors emotionally. I can open doors to other things that can destroy everything, from my marriage to my friendships to my life. And my thing is this, when we need to close open doors, and as I'm preaching and I'm speaking today, I pray that God quickens your heart to doors that have to be closed. The other problem with open doors is we, and it is a form of arrogance, it's a different kind of arrogance, we many times believe that it isn't all that. And that we can play with stuff that absolutely, it's like, you know, playing with a cobra. You don't play. If a kid comes home and says, look what I got, and it's a green-ass viper out of Cambodia, you don't say, that's a great pet, son. I think you should give it a name. You kill it, you shoot it, you knife it. When I'm in Vietnam, and when I've been in Cambodia, I've got to be honest with you. Many times, the doors have to be really shut because we have black scorpions. So when I'm in a hotel, guys, I'm checking the doors, and I've put towels. I went into one hotel, and they let the Khmer people pick it. It's not always good. It's not knocking the people, but a Khmer person that lives in a hut, to him, the fleabag hotel with bed bugs and scorpions is a step up from where they live. And I got in there, and I got a couple lizards, and I'm just thinking, shoot. So first thing I do is I look under the bed. I don't like bugs. Some people don't mind them. I'm not a bug aficionado. So I took a towel and stuffed it under the door. Then I shut the bathroom because they'll come up through the drain. And I took the bathroom when I went to bed and shoved the towel under that. In one hotel room, I heard this clicking that really bothered me, because that clicking is usually got one origin. So you think about the doors you open and shut, and there's literal doors in the world you go in that you just don't like. I think about that sin is an idol too, so when I need to close doors, but here's the part of redemption. When I said earlier that sometimes you're going to play catch-up as human beings, as Christians, you're going to play catch-up, and what I mean is you're going to already open them. The damage is going to come. Now you have to figure out the door, and you have to be willing to close it. And to totally close it, and to totally walk away from it. One of the problems that, even as a youth pastor and an adult pastor, is, and just as a human being myself, as a Christian, understanding that we play games with doors that are unbelievable sometimes, that I had many things that I kept open as a young believer that were so hazardous, so dangerous, And I lacked a sense of just how treacherous what I was doing. Because for my survival story, I've got friends that are dead. So, you know what I mean? Then I think secondly about the enemy where I have to close the door, and it says that, you know, its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now, what I love about the word master, this is Cain. And God's actually giving Cain truth, not false. It's not false what God's saying. He says, hey, you want to shut this door, number one, do well, meaning offer that offering in faith, do the right thing. You want to shut this door, understand your enemy is crouching. He's not at eye level. And understand that simply allowing that door where he starts to get angry at his brother, it's not an attitude that can always be controlled. And if you open it, he's not even understanding it. Sin endures. Desire is for me always. When I'm by a door and that door is going to open, it's always its desire. If you understand what I'm saying, it desires to control me. It desires to take my life over. It desires to kill my connection with God. It desires to take away my zeal. This is reality. So closing open doors, it's you know what I mean. And obviously, we open doors for a lot of reasons. We open them for hunger. We open them for lust. We open them also for false ideas. And when I say we open it for false ideas, what I mean is very simple. We open them for ideas that are not true. We open them because we think we'll receive something because of what we opened. And it's always a bad deal. Especially when the door that we're opening is a door that God's word absolutely says cannot be opened, period. And yet in the human mind, there's such a, like I said, there's a pride, there's an arrogance. We can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I remember knowing this one kid, and he said the same thing all the time. I got this, I know what I'm doing. And finally I just said, you don't have a clue what you're doing. Because he had created so many messes and messes and messes. I'm like, you're really high on yourself. What do you mean? I'm like, well, you're high on yourself because you're playing tiddlywinks and tag with death. And you still think you're smart enough to stay ahead of it. And it's ruined your life. It's ruined your purity. It's ruined your family. Physically, you're even messed up now. But what is our door? Well, everybody's got a different one. For Cain, that opportunity door was a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of anger because God had no regard for his sacrifice. And what that means is Cain was not worshiping God how God asked Cain to worship him. Yet Cain was angry at God, even though he was the one not walking properly. Because here's the other problem with open doors. Jealousy was Cain's door, and anger at God was Cain's door. But it was fueled, I mean, by Cain blaming another for his own mistake. And this story doesn't have to be. This is the other part of the story. Do you think God's playing a game with, and think about this for a minute. When God says, he tells him sin's crouching, so he gives him a position of it. You can't see it, Cain. He explains to him, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. And in this, especially in Genesis, that word countenance is heavy. What it means is if you do well, Cain, the state of your spirit will be right. And your countenance will no longer be fallen. And you'll no longer be by the door. Because here's what we don't realize. Cain needs to close the door, but why is he by the door? It's not just that we got to close open doors, but why do we find ourselves in a close proximity to the doors that we should not be near? There's a lot more that goes on than you really realize when you read between the lines. Why am I at a door that if I open it, it's got death, it's got sin, it's going to wreck my life? Why am I standing near to that door? Well, that's the other part. Cain's anger and his lack of his attitude and his blaming God for what he was liable for, it actually positionally put him next to the door that would be his undoing. The doors that get open have a lot to do, too, with the way we feel our desires, and we will put ourselves near to something that we should never be. But this is how doors work. And the other thing the enemy, Satan, can feel, and he does this really good, guys, he has a great sense when you're standing by the door. He knows it. He sees your spirit. He knows when you're ripe for the picking. Believe me. He knows exactly when he starts crouching. They're ready. They're ready. He saw Cain. Cain was ready. So he crouches down. And this is the thing. When Cain really allowed that attitude to fester, that was opening a door. When he held on to it, the door was wide open. But what Cain that Cain, he wasn't expecting, trust me. And when Cain murdered Abel, trust me, in the beginning of that door, he never thought for a minute that would be the result. He thought he could be ticked off. He thought he could be a little angry. And he thought he could be jealous of his brother. And he opened a bunch of internal doors that should have never been opened. But just like God said, when you open the door, sin's desire is for you. And you're going to have to master it. It's interesting. He didn't just say you have to resist it. He said you have to master it. And he gave the clue of mastering. Because when we do well, when we do the thing God asks, even if we're a bit fallen and our countenance is fallen, God says, I will lift your countenance back up. But again, this is really important that we rid ourselves of illusion. Because the reality in any room, I could preach this in a small room, big room, mega church, all Christians are the same. We're all the same in this. Because all of us are going to have continuous doors that will present themselves. And I think it's critical for us. And like I said, many times where, you know, a person, they feel the need to be angry, and then they start to harbor stuff. And in my family, I've talked about this before, that was a big door. And that door would get open wide, and I saw some horrible things. I saw violence. I saw all kinds of things. What the enemy wants in any time is to take a person who is made in the image of God, and no truer can that be that now we believers are being made into the image of Christ. It's actually far more graphic than when Cain stepped out that day with his brother in the field. The enemy wants your soul. He wants the image of Christ muddied in you. He wants you to love what is evil. He wants you to resist what is good. He wants you to start opening dark doors. Because when you do that, he knows when you're standing, if I'm standing at a door that is going to kill me, I'm not near doors of righteousness. I'm not near the gates of heaven. Because the door of God and the door of the devil, they're not like really close necessarily. And when I'm at one, I don't see the other. Now here's the other thing. There are doorways, not mentioned here, that are good doorways. And to me, if Cain does well, like any of us, if God says, hey, Mike, why is your countenance fallen? You know, the number one question is really kind of, what do they call that? He's not really asking him. He's making a statement, meaning, why is your countenance fallen, Cain? You have no reason to be mad. So that's a huge cure right there. But when we shut doors, we learn how to open doors of God's spirit, of God's presence, of God's power. A lot of times when I was dealing with my youth first youth group, kids are in and out because many times they're like yo-yos. Some were stable, some moved on and became there in ministries right now. But there were those that constantly played tag by the door of the devil, and many never survived. That's the nature of the game sometimes. The other thing with Cain and us is there are things, the devil wants to come and he wants to fracture my relationship. Just like an affair wants to come and fracture your marriage, the devil loves to fracture the relationship with God. Because let's be honest, at this point in the conversation, Cain has harbored something, it's not good, and Cain has opened a door. Cain's not listening to God. Cain's not interested in what God has to say. In fact, we know that God came down to Cain and spoke to him, and yet Cain took no advice at all from God. In fact, Cain proceeded to leave the door open and to perform exactly with what that sin's desire was for. And that's why, remember when Jesus talked about, you know, they said you shall not murder. Remember, Jesus in the New Testament called, it's like the roots of murder are anger. The roots of lust are looking, of adultery. So Jesus even explains this even to a greater degree. I knew this guy that liked to go to the adult bookstores. Great guy, really good guy for Christ. And, you know, he said God took it. And he had two ways he could come home from work. Now, you talk about closing the door, and you know what my advice was? Yeah, you got a lot of lust in your heart, and God wants to take that out. But my advice is also simple. When you go that route, you go almost 2 miles longer going home than when you take this other expressway. So it's interesting, and it sounds simple, I know. But my thing is, you could just take the normal route from home. It's like if somebody said, I'm just craving alcohol, and my favorite bar I used to go to is on the street. Why are you taking that street? And I've heard people say, well, you know, I want my heart to change, and it's not about that. And I say that's nonsense. I would say if there's an open door that you have a possibility or a temptation walking through, why would you be near that place? Why would you take a street where all you got to do is literally pull over and turn the ignition off and go in? This is the other amazing thing. That many times I will see this, and Christians can do this. They'll fight for the door to be near them. And if you suggest to take it away or put it at a distance, they're upset. So they actually want the door so they can readily open it if they feel like it. And it just kind of floors me. It's just like, oh my gosh. But this is what we all can do as human beings. We'll take this even further. You can have an attitude that you harbor that is a wide open door. You can have a certain way you think, and you know when you start thinking in that way, you're going to get into trouble. Because it says in the scripture, and this is a true saying, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And what that verse means actually is when you go down a certain path of thinking, it always turns to action. Very little thinking is idle, even in my life. What I think I do, the stuff I harbor in my heart, it dictates how I live, it dictates how I move, it dictates what I will do and won't do. And there was a simple door. The door was really simple. Quit driving 2 miles out of the way to be nearer to this chain of adult stores. Sounds really simple, and it really is. Because why do you go 2 miles out of your way? I mean, you're better off. And like I said, you hear people say, well, no, God's got to cure his heart. Well, I agree. I agree God's got to cure his heart. But I will tell you this. It doesn't take a genius to know, don't drive in that part of town. Drive in this part of town. It's simple. I've known people that had affairs, became Christians, got back with their spouses, and all of a sudden, you start seeing them in a grocery store that's a block from their affair's house. Why are you at this grocery store? Oh, I just got some good sales, but why? Because your ex-girlfriend, your affair that you were cheating on your wife, she literally is 4 doors down behind the store. Why would you be over there? Simple. Really simple. 1 John 3:7, and I say this because sometimes this is an attitude, it's a physical action, it's a combination, and then we just start to close these doors. You know what I'm saying? We close these doors. For me, there was a huge door because playing music was very addictive, and the world, the music that I was involved with, was laced with a lot of darkness. So I went to the store because, A, Jesus had radically brought me to him, but I did not trust myself at that stage of the game, so I sold all my equipment. So if Pastor Mike got an itch to scratch, to do session work, to play, to gig, I was going to take that practically and make sure I couldn't even if I wanted to. And I remember after getting rid of $10,000 of equipment, I got hit with a temptation so strong to re-enter the garbage that Jesus had delivered me out of. And one of the saving graces was there was no way to do it. It was a practical door closing that was spiritual and physical. I rid myself of a source that had brought me destruction and trouble, and I didn't want to risk it. And it's funny how the door gets, because I was working at this place, and I came out, and this girl said, "Are you Mike Cipella?" I said, yeah, I had no clue. She said, you know what? Your name was mentioned on XRT for this mega band. They're talking about they want you to play with them. And you get a door. Oh, wow, that's, wow. XRT was like, Zeppelin, really cool station. My name's there. That's really awesome. And there you get that door for me. But I had taken steps actually 6 months before that, went into Bible school and got rid of that door. That door was a huge door for me. It was so huge, it was scary. It scared me, actually. So what do you do with your doors is really the question. The sermon isn't about what do you do if you have a door. You're going to have doors. That's just without saying. This is reality. How do you protect yourself? What do you do to make sure you're not near them? How do you gauge that? 1 John 3:7 says, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. And I'm really focusing on the end part. It says, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, destroy the works of the devil. One of the things that we are believers, and we're closing open doors and opening the right doors. We're saying, I'm going to destroy the works of the devil. You got to understand one thing that God's ordained in all of us, no matter what you call or where you think you belong. as a Christian, meaning little Christ, you are going to go out in this world and destroy the works of the devil. Now, I think one of the things the Lord's doing in these end times, because we're definitely living in the end times, there's no doubt about it. If I have 100 more years, it's still short. If I have 200, it's short. It doesn't matter. If we have 50, it's still short. What I want to do is I want to destroy the works of the devil. In fact, I definitely don't want to support the works of the devil. And yet many times we Christians can get complicit in things that are horrible, that are absolutely supporting the worst possible things. Almost last but not least, in Matthew 24 it says, false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. But Jesus says, behold, I've told you in advance. One of the open doors that I really believe is important that we close is the possibility of alternate Jesuses. Christian faith that really isn't biblical. The possibility of worshiping in a way that not only isn't pleasing to God, but is an actual offense against God. These open doors are really important, but I want to say this too. When it comes to this stuff, I wonder if Cain believed what God said. Because he's talking to God, and that would seem to be very convincing, but it wasn't convincing to Cain. In fact, I would even say this, when your attitude and your countenance brings you next to the worst kind of door that you're about to open, you will be blind, because Cain was blind. God's actually talking to Cain. And even with the creator of the universe, Cain just scoots and does it. Hey, all you parents can feel better sometimes if you've dealt with rebellion and your kids don't want to hear you. Because even God speaking to Cain was having a hard time breaking through. Think about the intimacy there. Here's another thing I really believe. Obviously, the devil comes, right? And he's in this process. One more thing I want to bring up before we, go today. The devil is there. Do you remember when Jesus makes a statement about Satan? And he says that he was a murderer from the beginning. The reason that Jesus says that is very simple. Beginning, because before time, there is no time. He's actually speaking about when Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. Jesus said, you were a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning of man, Satan has been messing and sitting behind the door. And when the door is open, he comes in with all his hordes and he does all kinds of stuff. So I want to say this. Cain just didn't open the door because his jealousy was the door. But as he opens the door, it isn't just sin he chooses to partake in. There's the demonic realm. How many times do wicked doors get open? And it's like, I just wanted to play tag with that. I'm going to open the door and just touch it because it satisfies something in me. But what we don't understand is that not only is this desirous force, sometimes we open the door and the host of hell latch on. Now we got what I like to call critters, meaning this isn't just natural or sin, natural sin. This is demonic. Now, Cain opens this door, and Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. And what that means is Satan played a direct part. When Cain was jealous and mad at God, Satan played a direct part in the murder of his brother, the influence. And it's not that Satan lifted it up and, gave his hands the strength to beat his brother, although sometimes I've seen people have demonic rage where there's something else going on there. But Satan's right there and he's fueling it, and he's a murderer. Now, this is the other part about doors that we don't like to talk about, is that sometimes every demonic spirits, they come in through doors, and again, you think you open it, you think you just play tag with a little sin, but you've got a whole host coming through the doors. Now you are oppressed. Now you are oppressed. Now you are controlled. In fact, honestly, I look at Cain and say, he was out of his league. And the truth was, once that got going, Cain couldn't stop what he was about to do. He could have, but at this point, the enemy comes in. I believe that there's a direct influence with open doors, and demonic spirits try to grab us and they try to hurt us, and they try to influence, and then they try to bring junk to them. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but sometimes, and we're almost done, it seems like a perfect orchestra of things that occur as doors are starting to open. It's like an orchestra. All the right stuff falls into place. And you start opening the door, and all the wrong stuff comes through. And suddenly, it isn't just about you and that thing you were lusting after. Now it's about you, the enemy, your heart shifted, that door's open, it's come at you now. And you're controlled by something else. You know, it says in Ephesians 6:12, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. If I preach this every week to you guys and myself, it wouldn't be enough. We have to understand, I find it hard how we disbelieve of demonic activity in our lives. How we disbelieve that there's a devil behind the door. How we disbelieve that stuff we're getting at is full of demonic energy and influence. I don't know why we do, because maybe if we understood kind of the enemy's role in this, it would make that event look a lot less attractive. Imagine, you know, realizing that the powers of hell are working as you open a door. It sounds less romantic, doesn't it? It makes that lust a lot less attractive. It makes it really dark now. But it's going to be important, almost as I'm done here, that we start learning how to close doors. And you know, obviously, if I was to make a list, I would really quote the scripture. Let me say this to you. In 1 John, what's it say? All that is the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Satan, one thing about doors that many times causes us to open them, lust. We'll open wide open doors through lust. Pride. We will open doors because of our pride. We will open doors because of attitude. We will open doors because of dislike, anger, all kinds of things. The only thing you can do with an open door is close it. That's it. An open door is either going to be open or it's going to be closed. Now, you know what's interesting? I mean, you could see this too. Think about it. You could have somebody that you're near and dear to. And what's the enemy going to do? He's going to come in there to divide it, right? See, when the enemy comes to our marriage or any of our marriages, for married people, he wants one thing. He wants the marriage. He wants the marriage to be done. He also wants to come to the marriage, cause infidelity. He wants it to not be for the Christian couple like Christ in the church. When he comes to a family, he wants to divide 2 against 3, 3 against 2. He wants harmony with Jesus to be removed from the home. There's so many doors that people walk through. And the crazy thing about it, just like with Cain, no good thing will happen. You know, it's interesting. Through the years, I've seen, you know, the prophetic word sometimes. And they would vary from the Lord. And sometimes you would see, you know, and I've seen this to where I would be in rooms. I've seen it many times, though. So don't try to put this to your situation necessarily. Because I've seen it through 20 years all the time where somebody would warn somebody. I would hear the warning, and they're warning, you're messing with stuff, and if you keep this up, you will die. And I'm always kind of the guy going, wow, that's heavy, man. I like that person. I don't see all that. And sure enough, I'll never forget a man standing up, and I've told this, he was from hundreds of miles away, and gave a word in our congregation, and the danger a girl was in or a person was in with a relationship. And I remember the girl saying, that's not for me. That's not for me. I'm like, you know, it's 200 people there. It's interesting that you kind of just made that to you. Is there some conviction there? And the guy almost killed her. About a month later, almost killed her. Actually, almost killed her. It was maybe more than a month or two. She had opened the door. And in fact, her door was an attraction to a really bad guy that she just thought was always so great. And I loved to be with him. And yet that door was dark, it was evil, it ends up, you know, a lot of things. It's interesting, when you hear of even the sex trafficking trade, which is a horrible trade, and what is many times the allure is, I'm going to make you a model. Yeah, right. But that's the allure. Because I want to be a model, I want to be famous, I want to have lots of money. And it opens a door, and we just like sheep led to the slaughter. Hundreds of thousands, and it's horrible, it's unfortunate, especially, and you get countries that like Thailand where they specialize in this, it's horrible. Today I would ask you to always consider, because all of us will go through this, and I want to know in my life, what doors have been opened? And most of us will testify when that little door is open, all kinds of junk came through, all kinds of junk. And sometimes we really got to go back to the door and say, I got to get back to the door that I opened, and then I need to set this before the Lord, and I need to be willing to close it off. You know, I've had people, and in closing, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll see a door, it's horrible, and there are people, Christians, suffering. And I will see a very odd, a reluctance to where they're kind of like, you need to just do this, this, and this to avoid that. Nope. Many times I can see it in their face. They're not going to totally remove that. because the door is connected to something else that seems kind of benign. And yeah, I don't want to lose that. And I hear all this rationale, and they'll be hurting. And this door will be killing them. See, the interesting thing about open doors, Satan is a real liar too, because he definitely wants you to not see it for what it is. He wants you open it, and really it comes at you. Now you're getting controlled. You're not in control no more. See, that's with Cain. You got to understand, he opens this door, and he was in control, and his countenance falls. God even challenges his state of spirit, and that's a beautiful thing. God's personable with Cain. He's talking to Cain. He's concerned with Cain. He didn't want Cain to end up killing Abel. You realize when Jesus is teaching out of in Matthew, and we're saying, you know, it says do not commit murder, but I say if you say to your brother, hey, Jesus is showing us the whole root. And now we know that's the thing. Trying to Jesus like saying, listen, here's the doorway, but this doorway I took a peek turns into infidelity. This doorway I was angry at them can turn into murder. This doorway of attitude can cause radical divisions in families and friends and all kinds of things. In fact, sometimes we're busy arguing of why I'm right, you know, in an action that of a door I shouldn't have opened. We're still arguing about that. And we should be going, what happened? How did I open this thing? And I need to find when I opened it and where, because I need to close it, because if I don't, it's going to chew me up. And I think for Christians, we need that wisdom. Now, for some of us, you know, like I said, sometimes there's physical things. Sometimes for me, it's an attitude. Many times I've mentioned that there's certain things I won't even say out loud no more, plenty of them, because I realized that I was ruminating. I was opening a door. I was saying stuff I should not say. I was copying attitudes, and you start talking, and it just takes you away. And it just takes you away, and it takes you over. So I'm like, you know, there's certain things you just don't want to get near. It's like, I'm not even going in that part of the spiritual house. I don't even want to be near the door because I've been a victim to it before. And I think this is what's really critical for us as believers as we close, because the enemy's going to come at you guys. He's always going to come at you guys. You understand what I'm saying? He is going to come. He is going to hit you. He is going to try to pry stuff open. And if he gets a foot in, he's going to make a lot of chaos and a lot of pain for you, if you're with me on this. But I want to give you good news in closing. It's God tells us what to do with this stuff. And he tells us, cut it off. Shut the door. Get away from it. Don't even go near it. Stop it. And here's the thing I know about myself. I can't speak, you know, for every individual here, because you're each your own individual people. But I have things that when you get a little older, you do grow into certain things where, like, not going to touch that because that touches that and that touches that. You get a little smarter. I'm not going to, this is just bad news. See, you know, again, but it's interesting because imagine, like, I gave a story of a dear friend. It was interesting, you know. With that friend, what actually occurred was he left his wife. In fact, eventually, he had a door, and it seemed harmless. You know, it was kind of not good, but he would repent, and he harbored it, and he kept it. Well, eventually, that led into all kinds of sin, and it absolutely fragmented his home and killed his family. That's the thing I still, to this day, don't understand. You know, when daddy leaves the house to be with the affair half his age, what does that do to the kids when they're watching? It's hard stuff. His one kid says, I don't even believe there is a God. I'm an atheist now. Because he said, I saw the Jesus stuff. I saw my dad. And in a way, you kind of feel for him. But I remember talking with him about that door very pointedly. And he was a great guy. When we had to talk, he was a great guy. Could have been a better guy, and he needed to, and he needed to close the door, but he didn't. Now he won't talk to me. He won't talk to Christians. What a pity. And I guarantee you that door seems like not so good, but it wasn't going to wreck everything that he knew and loved. But that's the point. Its desire was for him. Now, as we close in prayer, you always have to figure this out. Nobody can come up on the side and say, well, I think, you know, this is that. We know our own lives. We know when we're getting near stuff that we shouldn't. We know when there's doorways that are like trying to say, you know, hey, Mike, remember me? Just come on. Just open it a little bit. I just want to talk to you. Sometimes we need to have those conversations. And I would close with this too. You know, discouragement is a door. I don't know if you understand that. When we get discouraged and we lose hope, we don't even understand. We think we're just losing hope and we're a little discouraged. But if we really open that door wide, it can affect so many things. What about the Christian that God wants to use you? You're a prayer warrior. He's going to have you pray for people, and then you have doubt, and doubt becomes the door, and you go, I don't know if I'm about it. I don't know if I can do all that, and I'm not sure I'm that kind of person. And then all of a sudden, I'm going, okay. And then that door opens, and before I know it, you get a Christian that's a son or a daughter of God, able to change so many things, but now they just don't believe they're good at anything. So there's a lot of different kinds of doors that people allow the enemy to come through. But I would say this as we close. In the end times, we have to narrow this down. Because what I'm seeing is it's like less latitude. I'm watching the game get tighter. I'm watching the things that used to, it seems like people used to be able to get away with stuff. Although I don't ever think that was true. But there's like, you know, it seemed like years ago, people would kind of, you know, half open a door and it didn't wreck it. But one thing I'm noticing now is that the doors, when they're open, it's a lot faster. And I'm watching the downfall go a lot faster. And that scares me because ultimately, we want to see God glorified in our marriage, in our kids, in our life, in our homes, in everything that we are. Ultimately, we want to close doors. And God said you can do it. In fact, here's the thing. If I do the right thing, my countenance will be lifted up. I can change that door. I really can. I can put it aside, you know. It would have been really good, and like I said, in the one situation, it would have been great if when a door is getting open, also, if you talk to somebody, hey, this door has been bothering me. And if a person's a mature Christian, they're going to start praying with you. Sometimes laziness can be a door. Sometimes lethargy. Sometimes complacency could be. You start letting that stuff in, and that door opens wide, and you're just sitting around. So let's all, as we go today, I want you to realize you can close it, whether it's a thought, an attitude, something, there's something. And sometimes, too, I've seen doors open that really torment Christians, where even it's just stuff that they're putting up with that they shouldn't, and they need to really close that door. Sometimes we can be gluttons for punishment. There's no doubt in my mind. But may God give us that wisdom. And I will tell you the truth. I once heard a 92-year-old guy preach at a FCA convention, which I'm ordained with. And he was talking about a door for guys. It's lost a lot of times. And he started out when he got married in Bible college at 24. And he went through, he preached a sermon that went all the way to his 90. And he said, you know, I'm going to get better at this. And I got to, you know, be careful about this. And certainly when I'm 50, it'll be better. And then he would stall and go, no. So he finally got all the way to 90 and said, I'm 90. I mean, I barely can walk. And certainly I'll never, that stuff will never come at me. And he stalled and went, nah, guys, sorry tonight. Got to keep them doors closed. And we were all kind of laughing, the ministers. But again, he was showing a good point. We kind of think we're getting to a point where doors will no longer be offered. It's not true. Satan is like he's a buffet guy. He wants to put it all before you all he can. And if you're prone to let it open, he will stay there. So let's all rise. We're going to pray today. Food smells good and all that smells good. So, hallelujah.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Please. Ella, my friend, who had been in and out for the past 2 months, they finally found the rush that she had an inch and a half cyst in her brain.
Ah.
And they removed it.
Good.
But she's still having difficulty with swallowing and walking. So she has to go be transferred to rehab facility. We're going to work to get her back to walking and swallowing.
Praise God.
She's
real good.
But Larry had another surgery this past week.
That was with the cancer, right, for Larry? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We don't know. That one's just not. But at least comfort for him and his family.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's metastasized, I'm assuming?
Yeah, the bladder, the kidney, the urethra. Yeah.
That's a real miracle of seeing Jesus, simply put. Yeah, that one's either simply. Father, first of all, we close today, and I thank you for the sister. They found that cyst. It's gone. Thank you. Lord, she'll learn to swallow. It's just she had pressure, and it impinged, and you'll bring back. But again, it's you, Father. We pray for that. Lord, I believe that doctors can do some good things, but even the doctors told me the divine factor, meaning the body has to respond in the way God made it to respond. We pray for Larry. I don't know him. But he's suffering. It's a friend of Barbara's. And I mean, you know, it's not, we don't have to know him to feel for him. And in the name of Jesus, we all join in. And we say, Lord, if you don't heal him miraculously from what I'm hearing, this, I know where this goes. So I'm praying for Larry right now. Lord, I've seen ridiculous things that contradict every bit of medicine we understand when you just take stuff and just heal people. So I pray for comfort as well as family. He's not just him. It's his family that's dealing with every aspect of this. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the touch, Father. Lord, that touch upon him, his family, if there's kids, every child, his spouse, all that stuff gets very difficult. And I pray that your name would be glorified through the trauma. I pray that your name would be lifted above. Father, last but not least, I pray today, and we all face doors, whether it's the way I think, stuff comes at us. Sometimes, Lord, we can even open doors. It's not necessarily us wanting to sin. We will allow something that just brings in a lot of garbage to our life. It's not even so much, you don't always have to be chasing something to have a door open. And I would pray that open doors that need to be closed would be closed. And Father, you told Cain all those years ago what to do. He said, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. But as it is, sin's crouching at the door because they're sensing you're ready to open it and they're willing to come in. We don't want that today, but Father, give hope, because what's important is redemption and mercy.
Yes.
Lord, it is your mercy that you have come to my life. And I remember when I sold a lot of equipment, I remember having a serious doubt about strength, and I didn't want to be faced with an ability to jump back in. And it was true. And 6 months later, I hit a horrible season, and I was tempted in all kinds of ways. Thank you that sometimes we can drive that other route. Sometimes we can rid ourselves of something that's going to bite us in the behind. We can rid ourselves of a door that we're just standing too close to. We can walk away from it. So I pray for victory. And Lord, the one thing I know is a fact, everything's redeemable. And when it comes to us, your kids, you come in, you redeem. And even if the locust has eaten at our lives, has chewed up an area, I really believe, and I know as a fact, you can restore, you can bring back what we've lost. I know this is a fact because I'm a living example of restoration and mercy. So I pray a blessing on everyone here. They need to always know they're not alone. Father, and I pray right now, last thing, give us discernment. If there's, what I'm saying is, if we're running into stuff and we're hurting, and give us discernment. Sometimes, Lord, this is not as obvious as a Cain story. It's far more subtle and quiet. Help us, Lord, to know where, when, and how to shut things. Give us your wisdom, Lord. We live in this earth, we live in this sinful world, and we all understand the nature of the game. And I just pray victory, because you said the word master, and I believe through you, Jesus, I can shut doors, absolutely. We can have the power to shut them, and you have the power to keep them closed. So help us to realize the nature of our existence today. And then help us to be willing to sort it through. Sometimes, Lord, we need to talk to each other. We need to sort it through. We need to figure out how to close it, God. And everyone here, they're living their own life. They're going to a house. They got family, loves, and children, and relatives. There's so much to it, God. But I pray victory today.
Yes.
Through and through. Total victory. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless everyone.